The budget the Defense Department submitted for 2016 includes money to start digging out of a big backlog of deferred maintenance on military bases. But Pentagon officials say even their own plan is not a complete solution to deteriorating facilities. And if sequestration returns next year, things are going to get a whole lot worse.
The 2016 budget would partially restore funding to DoD facility sustainment, restoration, and modernization programs, which were slashed by one-third in 2015. But it would still only provide 81% of the funds the military services say they need to adequately maintain existing facilities. Even though the overall Pentagon spending plan would bust the Budget Control Act spending caps by $35 billion, officials say they're still operating in a tight budget climate and that the decision was made to take risk in facilities since they degrade more slowly than military readiness. John Conger is DoD's Acting Assistant Secretary for Energy, Installations, and Environment.
Facility sustainment is still the place where I see the highest risk. We have a model that outlines the requirement for how much money we should allocate for maintaining our facilities, preventative maintenance, et cetera. We have an internal policy to try and fund 90% of that, and we don't with this budget. It funds about 81% of that requirement, the modeled requirement. Frankly, last year, when we were BBA-driven budget environment, it was much smaller, I think, on the order of 70%. So the problem is that it is cheaper to do that sort of preventative maintenance than it is to repair critical problems, and it is cheaper to repair critical problems than it is to replace a facility. If you stop funding the preventative maintenance at the front, you're going to suck up all that money with critical repairs, and eventually you're going to have to replace the building.
Delayed maintenance has already left the military with plenty of buildings that are in rough shape. Under the department's rating system, called the Facility Condition Index, 24% are already categorized as in poor condition, and another 7% meet the criteria for a failing building. DoD says it created the 90% maintenance goal in order to develop a plan to improve its building inventory over multiple years, including repairing or replacing buildings and demolishing those that are beyond hope. Dennis McGinn, the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Energy, Installations, and Environment, says the 2016 budget would only be the beginning of the process, though.
We are funding the sustainment, restoration, and modernization of our facilities at a level that arrests the immediate decline in the overall condition of our most critical infrastructure. By deferring less critical repairs, however, especially for non-critical facilities, we do acknowledge that we are allowing certain facilities to degrade. However, this budget has us headed back in the right direction, clearly. Last year's budget risks, if continued into the future, would have led to rapid degradation of overall shore establishment readiness.
But even deferring repairs that seem less critical at the time has a tendency to lead to sudden critical situations. One of them last year involved a 15-foot sinkhole in the middle of the primary runway at the Naval Air Station in Jacksonville, Florida, taking it out of commission and forcing the Navy to go out to bid on $52 million in emergency repairs. The sinkhole was not an act of nature.
The root cause was a leaking sewer pipe that ran under the runway. It had been the replacement of that infrastructure and the reconstruction of that runway had been on the MILCON list for many, many years, but it was put off. We were finally doing it this year, of course. But that's one example of how a failure to do the necessary construction and sustainment readiness and maintenance adds more risk, and we can't always predict where the power is going to go out, where the water will fail, or where there'll be a potential for oil to get into the water. We just watch those things very, very carefully, and we put the money where it's going to do the most good.
The DoD budget also requests a substantial increase in military construction funding, 29% more than last year, even at a time when the military is shrinking. Part of the difference is explained by the fact that the department scaled back on new construction last year in response to sequestration and is now trying to catch up. But Catherine Hammack, the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and Environment, says the new construction bill is likely to grow in future years as existing facilities continue to approach failing conditions.
And so in the Army, the results of not investing in sustainment in 13 and 14 means that we right now have a $3 billion maintenance backlog, over 5,500 major work orders for sustaining our facilities. And as we have seen our facilities degrade, we have seen a 9.3% increase in restoration and modernization requirements. And as he mentioned, as you progress, if you can't sustain it right, then it becomes restoration and modernization. And if you don't get after that soon enough, the facility becomes failing. So right now, 7% of Army facilities are failing, 24% of Army facilities are considered poor. And as we continue to underfund sustainment, we increase MILCON requirements down the road.
While officials acknowledge their own funding plan would not solve the problem of deteriorating infrastructure, they say a return to sequestration would almost certainly make the problem worse. In the big picture, cuts to facility maintenance are politically easy compared with eliminating weapons platforms or reducing force structure. Miranda Ballantyne is the Air Force's Assistant Secretary for Installations, Environment, and Energy.
Put it very simply, sir, BCA would require us to make no-win decisions between all necessary MILCON and FSRM projects. The Air Force has intentionally underfunded mission-critical infrastructure over the last several years, things like nuclear infrastructure, space infrastructure, and in particular, existing mission infrastructure, which the PB budget allows us to begin to chip away at that backlog. There's nothing that would be immune from being looked at, so it just really forces no-win decision.
The military's bills for facility upkeep are also driven by the fact that its scarce maintenance dollars are spread across a real estate portfolio that's much larger than what the services think they need. While the Navy thinks its facilities are matched just about right with its existing size, recent assessments from the other services say the Army has 18% excess capacity. The Air Force has 30%.
There is more we can do to improve the affordability and viability of our installations, which today are simply too big, too old, and too expensive.
Congress has shot down DOD's requests for another round of base realignments and closures for several consecutive years, citing the high costs of the last round in 2005. The Pentagon continues to insist that a new round would be different since it would be conducted at a time when the military is shrinking instead of growing and would be explicitly designed to save money rather than transforming the military's stateside footprint. Final decisions on base closures would be up to an independent commission, but DOD would also be able to provide its own input. Congress said his staff has been honing its skills to determine exactly how to make those recommendations without cutting back on military capability, including through the round of European base closures the department announced in January.
The EIC process that we just went through, the European Infrastructure Consolidation process, is a great example of how this would work, because we used BRAC to test drive for a lot of staff who hadn't experienced the background before, and we did it in Europe. We made a very clear choice not to reduce any operational capability, not to make decisions that would reduce our ability to deal with a conflict in the region. We were trying to find a way to do the same thing for less money. And that's what drove those recommendations and that process. And we expect the same thing for a background.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com, and 1500 AM.